Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, that's better. That's what happens when we are a small group. It's just us. There's no live streaming today, by the way. So we're allowed to do whatever we want. Welcome to this worship service today. Whether you're visiting with us, or you're new, or you've been here in the pews, for years and years, this is God's place, and we are here to worship God together this morning. Is there anybody who is new, who is here for the first time, that we would love to welcome? If you stand up, we would love to acknowledge you. Welcome. I take it you're a friend of James? Welcome. Thank you, James, for bringing your friend. And we look forward to meeting you later after the worship service. There are refreshments in the hallway and lemon juice. And time for us for fellowship. So please join us. This morning, we begin our worship service by a reminder that we have a new bulletin for this summer. Our office administrator works really hard, and in the summer we thought we have one generic bulletin for the summer that you can keep here in the pews week after week. This is for July, but the insert that is inside it have the announcements, and this one you can take home if you wish to take the announcements home and stick it on your fridge or be reminded of what we have. Let's take a time to begin our worship service, and as we begin our worship service, we are reminded of the land on which we worship. And we acknowledge that this land on which we gather for worship is the traditional, unceded, unsurrendered territory of the Algonquin Nation. We are grateful for their stewardship of this territory for thousands of years. Parkdale United Church welcomes all. We support and celebrate diversity, inclusion, and equity with regard to race, color, ethnicity, national origin, gender, sexuality, and all levels of ability. And we hope that whoever you are, we feel welcome here. This is God's place. And we are all God's children. In the announcements today, there are some in the insert that would like to remind you of. One of them that is really important is that Parkdale is looking for a reliable person to take the place of Emil while Emil takes some much-deserved break over the summer. So if you know anyone who is interested in a three-week period position, please let the office know. Also, Bev is looking for pictures. If you are someone who likes to take your camera around on your walks or your phone and like to take pictures of birds or trees or any of God's creation, please send those beautiful pictures to Bev or the office, and we'd like to use them in the fall. I know some of you in your travels have seen majestic views, and we'd love to have these shared with us in the office for use in the fall. Our Gracefield camp is coming up, and this is a congregational camp. And I highlight this and underline this word congregational because it's not just for young families. It's for anybody in the congregation. And everyone who's joined in the past have really had a great time of fellowship, relaxation, being in God's nature, and being with one another. And this year, our camp is on September 12 to 14. And I encourage each and every one of you who've been there or who've never been there to take this time to be with us this year. There is a link there in the bulletin for you to register online. There's also a QR code for you if you want to go that way. But please submit your registration forms as soon as possible to allow us for planning and for letting the center know about numbers and meals that they have to plan and all the accommodation that we require. The summer camp for children is happening also here in the summer, and we've talked about VBS road trip. Children are excited, and our youth are excited because they'll be, some of them will be the volunteer leaders for the first time. It's an exciting time for all ages, for children who attend, for youth who are leaders and crew leaders, and for the adults who are teachers. So if you'd like to help, if you can help, we really appreciate your assistance, whether during the week, before the week, or after the week. There's a lot happening to set up, to clean up, to decorate the whole church, especially downstairs, our main center, our main stage. This church turns into a really road trip while we're on this week of journeying together. Today there is nursery, I believe, downstairs, if your children need the nursery, and Sunday school is happening in the parlor upstairs after the time to wonder. Let us take our time now, a moment, to prepare ourselves, our hearts, to worship God, and I invite the Craig family to come and light the candle for us.
I'm number one. You want to introduce me here? You hold it?
Yep.
It's only number one. We light the Christ candle this morning, a reminder that the light of Christ can't be overcome by darkness.
God. As we light this Christ candle, we pray for the light of Christ to light our way and guide our steps in life, so we may have a deep love and see the world as God sees it.
Jesus, light of the world, shine in and through us. Shine on the lands that need God's light. Shine on the people who need God's vision. Shine on the situation that need God's love.
May Christ's light help us as we worship. As we worship now, and may it lead us in the way of life. Amen.
Thank you. Our call to worship this morning is inspired by Psalm 146. Let us gather for worship. Let us praise the Lord from the depth of our hearts. Let us sing praise to God as long as we live. Blessed are those whose hope is in the Lord their God, the maker of the earth, the skies, the sea, and everything in them. The Lord remains faithful forever. God upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those that are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the stranger and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But God frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. With these words, we come together to worship and praise God, who calls us to love our neighbor, who is the God of the neighbor. Let us now praise and worship God, and our hymn is in the insert, the first hymn we will sing together. If you're able to stand, please stand.
To God be the glory, great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son. seated. Let us lift up our hearts in prayer to the throne of mercy. Let us pray. Living God, God of deep love, we come to you now because you are the Good Samaritan who is infinitely merciful, even when we do not deserve it. You are the one who never forgets us or forsakes us, but the one whose compassion is limitless and love is unconditional. Grant us the insight to see the need in those around us, the wisdom to know how to respond, and the strength to do so willingly. We confess, Lord, that we have not been the good neighbor. Many times we crossed the road to avoid the poor, the vulnerable, and the marginalized. The world today closed its eyes and ears in many and various ways on those who have been stripped, beaten, and left for dead. Loving God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Many times we feel that lots is asked from us more than we feel we have to give. Forgive us. Forgive what our lips tremble to name and our hearts can no longer bear. Open our eyes that we might not cross the road from human need. May our love of you and love of our neighbor call us to be people of peace, to be people of justice, to do your will in this world. And may we, like the Good Samaritan, always go and do likewise. For this we pray in your name. Amen. Let us take some quiet time now in our personal silent prayers. Friends, the Bible reminds us of the message that we have received from God, that in God there is no darkness. God is pure light. If we say that we have no sin, no darkness in us, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, forgives our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So friends, let us trust this news. Let us come to God with open hearts, seeking true forgiveness. And God is faithful to grant us new hope, new peace, a new page with God. God is faithful, God is merciful, God is gracious. This is good news. Thanks be to God. Let us sing of this good news. I don't see many of our friends here this morning. Some are youth and some are kids,
But if you're able, if you'd like to join me in the front, I have something to share with you, and I would really hope that you can help me with this, because I am finding a hard time to decide. Come on, guys, come join me. Maybe you have some wisdom here to tell me what I should do. I'm just going to grab a chair here. So I can be closer to you. Well, as you know, I have kids, and my kids pack their lunchbox to school every morning, and I help them. And now they're going to camps, and they also pack lunchbox to go to camps. And we've been having a hard time trying to find things to put in the lunchbox. So I packed some, and I would really like you to tell me which ones I should put in the lunchbox. So I need two volunteers. Maxim, would you like to hold this? Anybody else? Would you like to volunteer? Just hold this and stand on the other side, please. So I want my kids to have healthy food. So I buy them some broccoli to go. You know, why are you laughing? Some bananas and some apples. And for some reason, when they see this lunchbox, they frown. They prefer to have this. They say this is flavored fruit, right? They opt for this one. They say candy, like fruit station, fruit stations are healthy. And so they opt for this kind of fruit. They prefer their snacks, the Kit Kat, and they say, this is kind of cute. It's like, do you know these characters?
Paw Patrol.
Paw Patrol is fun lollipops, you know. You have to have some fun in your lunchbox and some rockets for excitement. Have you ever had these? Your dentist loves you. Smarties also, your dentist loves you if you take these. And some more coffee crisp. They say it's good to wake them up, and some more Kit Kat. So I'm having a hard time, really, to decide which one should I pack for them in the lunchbox. Would you help me? What do you think? Who votes for this? Show of hands, please. Oh, there's one there, two, three, right, four. Fun is good, right? Who votes for that? Yeah, good choices. What about the kids? I know, you prefer this one, right? Sometimes, thank you so much, thank you for helping. Sometimes, you can go sit back. Sometimes in life, we can make choices that are fun and easy, but they're not the right choices. And sometimes in life, we have to choose what we don't like, because that is the good choice. Today I want to share with you a story from the Bible that we all know. It's called the Good Samaritan. Do you know that story? In that story, it very much reminds me about the choices we make in life. Sometimes we make choices that we don't prefer and not interesting and not fun, or, you know. So one day, a lawyer came to Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do if I want to live with God after I die? What does it say in the law? Jesus asked. Love God with all your heart, said the lawyer. Love God with all your soul. Love God with all your strength. And love your neighbor the way you love yourself. That's right, said Jesus. Do that, and you will live with God forever. The lawyer wanted to argue with Jesus, and he said, but who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Who's your neighbor? The next door guy, the next door people, the next door family, the one who's sitting next to us. Well, let's see what Jesus said. So Jesus told him a story about a Samaritan. In the land where Jesus lived, people didn't like Samaritans. These were their enemies. A man was walking down a lonely road all by himself. Suddenly, some robbers came. They grabbed the man. They beat him up. The robbers took his money, took his clothes, and left him lying on the road. He was bleeding badly. First came a person who was all dressed up in nice clothes. "Oh," said the well-dressed person, "I don't want to get blood in my hands. These are nice clothes. I don't want them to get dirty. I'm going to pretend I didn't see him." Then a very busy person came along. "Oh," said the busy person, "if I stop, I'll lose some time. I'm very busy. I'm going to pretend I did not see him." Then a Samaritan came along. No one expected to get help from a Samaritan. But the Samaritan looked at the man lying beside the road. "Oh," said the Samaritan, "this poor man needs help. I'll see what I can do." The Samaritan poured medicine on the man's sores. He tore some of his clothes into strips and made bandages. Then the Samaritan put the man on his donkey and took him to an inn. "Take care of this poor man," the Samaritan said to the innkeeper. "Here's some money to pay for it. I'll come back in a few days. If it costs any more to take care of him, I'll pay you." When Jesus had finished the story, he looked at the lawyer. "Now, who was being a neighbor to the man who was robbed?" Whom do you think was a neighbor to the man who was robbed? The Samaritan. "The one who was kind to him," said the lawyer. "The one who showed kindness." "Well," said Jesus, "go and be like that kind person." Isn't that a great story? We all know the Good Samaritan story, don't we? Many organizations are called the Good Samaritan stories. Many efforts for helping poor people go under the title of the Good Samaritan, because we all are called to be kind and merciful like the Samaritan, even to people we don't know. And in this story, it says even to people who are our enemies. That's hard, isn't it? Well, I want you to wonder with me today as we take this time to wonder. Sometimes we are called to be the kind person, right? We're called to do acts of kindness to everyone, regardless who they are. Sometimes we are the person in the ditch. We are the person who needs help, right? And God comes to our help, even sometimes when we don't deserve it, right? So this is a cause to give God thanks. And do likewise. Just like God loves us, we are called to love others. Amen? Amen. Well, we're singing our faith this summer, and we're going to sing the Lord's Prayer. So Keith, over to you. I think we're going to have to learn it again.
Yes, this is the new one again. This is your second chance. And I'll just do it once through again, and then we'll sing it all. I'm sure we don't mind doing that. So I'll sing it through, then we'll all sing it again. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Here we go.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. trespasses against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. All right, friends, you're welcome to join Chris upstairs. I know there's chips and movie for you today, so you're welcome to join him in the parlor. Before we read our scriptures, it is my pleasure to welcome our preacher today. And then Keith will read scriptures. Is there anything? Oh.
There's a hymn, too.
There's a hymn before the scripture, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this bulletin is mixing me up. So bear with me. Thank you. But before we sing our hymn, let us take a moment to introduce our preacher for today. He is one of us. He is one of us here, not a guest. Ron, we all know you, and we are so pleased and honored to have you be our preacher this morning. Many of you know Ron Baker and Barbara, and they've been in the pews for many years. Ron is a retired company director in the international chemical industry. He spent 32 years living and working in Europe, 15 years plus in Brussels, and 17 years in the Netherlands, before returning to retirement here in Canada in 2002. Ron is married to Barbara Hill Holland, and she has been a long-time member of Parkdale for many, many years. Both being widowed, they met in 2019 here in Parkdale and married here in Parkdale in December 21, 2019. So Ron is not only a successful person in life, but he also a member of the clergy. He obtained his licensed lay minister in the Anglican Church in 2002 to 2023 in Europe from the Anglican Church, of Canada, and previously in Europe, from 1983 to 2002 in the Church of England. So he comes with a wealth of experience in the church ministry. He joined many clubs, and he's a member of many international organizations. He's a member of the PDAC, Mineral Association of Canada, and he's a life member of the U.S. American Chemical Society, the ACS. He's a Rotary Club of Ottawa West member and member of the Monarchist League of Canada. He is born in Canada, right?
New York.
Sorry, he was born in Manhattan in New York, but he holds dual nationality, Canadian and American nationality. And he is a graduate of Brown University, Providence in Rhode Island. So we're so looking forward and excited to hearing from you about who is the Good Samaritan today. As I mentioned, a story that we all know, but he's going to bring that twist about what does it mean for us today. So we welcome you among us here and look forward to hearing from you in a moment. But first, let us sing our hymn. And it is printed. This one is printed in the insert. Our last hymn, though, is not printed, and you need the books for that one. But for this one, El Shaddai, it's printed in the bullet, in the insert.
Yeah, this one is one of the ones that was submitted by a favorite, and I know it's more contemporary, but I think it's rather well known. So please, please sing along. Don't leave me up here in the lurch.
Please stand if you're able.
Thank you.
still the same. By the power of the name El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Erkav Kano Adonai, He will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Through your love and through the Ram, you save the Son of Abraham. Through the power of your hand, you turn the sea into dry land. To the outcast on her knees, you were the God who really sees. And by your might, you set your children free. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai, age to age, you're still the same. By the power of the name, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Erkav Adonai, we will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Through the years you made it clear that the time of Christ was near, though the people couldn't see what Messiah ought to be. Though your word contained a plan, they just could not understand. Your most awesome work was done in the frailty of your Son, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai, age to age, you're still the same.
Please be seated.
Today's gospel reading comes from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But when a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The word of the Lord.
Only a few of my stuff here. Move my things.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm very glad to be here and being able to talk to you and to share with you some views of this story that we all know so very well. I hope everyone can hear me. Is that possible in the back? Thank you very much. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable to you. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Have you noticed lately far too many people have an identity crisis? They seem to forget of where they are, whither they're going, and maybe even who or how they identity with their role in life. They can't identify themselves. They seem lost. Many others prefer to be discreet about their choice of who they travel with or the identity of their companions. Not every gray beard driving down Parkdale Avenue in an open sports car on Sunday morning with a fine-looking young lady by his side is escorting his lovely daughter to church. He had an identity crisis, I think, or she did. Maybe they both did, I don't know. I wish they were here. Maybe they are. You can't be sure. Most of us married folk like to stay close to our spouse and never stray far away. It's hard enough for us to keep in touch with the people we know and love, let alone strangers. An elderly couple we know had dinner at a neighboring couple's house one night. When done, the wives left the table and went into the kitchen. The two gentlemen were talking, and one said, "Last night, we went out to a new restaurant, and it was great. I'd recommend it very highly." The other man said, "What's the name of the restaurant?" The first man thought and thought. He fumbled in his iPad. He got out and he got ChatGPT. Do you use ChatGPT sometimes? He started to ask questions. Let me see now. And finally he said, "What is the name of that flower you give to someone you really love? You know, the one that's red and has thorns." GPT cogitated a few minutes and then replied, "Do you mean a rose?" "Yes, that's it," replied the man. He then turned towards the kitchen and he yelled, "Rose, what's the name of that restaurant we went to last night?" He didn't have an identity crisis, she did, right? Well, we all like to be familiar and in familiar territory with familiar friends and family around us. Surrounded by well-known people we love and are close to under familiar circumstances. Fear of the unknown, strangers, well, the possible scam, or even worse, that might happen and befall us in this present circumstance. Someone seemingly in distress asking for help is a good example of someone we have to be really dubious about. It's quite natural to be defensive when one sees a disheveled person on a lonely street in an unfamiliar location asking for something with their hand out. It's natural to shy away from a vision like that. We're constantly warned, "Beware of the stranger. Walk on the other side. Look straight ahead. Do not be fooled. Avoid a trap, or you too may become a victim." Good advice. Or is it really? Is it really good advice? Our gospel parable today is about the Good Samaritan. A Samaritan was a stranger. The Jews feared and even hated. Yet Samaritans believed in the Ten Commandments. They believed in the first five books of the Bible. They'd just fallen away from all of Judaism. They were a little bit outside of the normal. They were not considered to be part of the club. They were far away. Yeah, they were not exactly the kind of people you hung around with. In fact, we hated them if we were a good Jew, said the people at that time. Here we have a parable that is perhaps the very best known to everyone, even to atheists, Jews, and non-Christians. Secular laws are written to protect good Samaritans. Civil society generally honors good Samaritan acts by fearless individuals willing to risk danger, or even worse, to help, even rescue, those in danger and in distress. And yet, we are seeing increasing anxiety, even condemnation, about those who offer aid to people in peril or in distress, to those who have been assaulted and injured, foreigners, immigrants, and refugees. Bad people are often targeted and the targets of cruel, brutal treatment in some countries that claim to be democracies. Alas, there are cases where medical practitioners, nurses, and doctors have come upon injured people offering first aid and comfort and have been accused of practicing medicine on a patient without their legal consent. Sometimes they're getting attacked, beat up by the cops, or worse. They've been accused of practicing medicine on a patient without their legal consent. Good Samaritans are in legal difficulties, physical difficulties, so many, of course, refuse to help and walk by on the other side. You can't really blame them. It's a tough job to be a good Samaritan these days. A very difficult job. It's a dangerous job. It's a job we have to contemplate with a great deal of care. Some governments foster similar attitudes toward many vulnerable people today. It's something to think about and ponder. Well, we all know that in human affairs, the more things change and the more they are exactly the same as they always were. It was very much like today in Jesus' time, 2,000 years ago in Israel. A 25-kilometer journey from Jerusalem through the rugged wilderness, the real badlands of Israel, down to the city of Jericho on the River Jordan was very dangerous, still is today, in fact. Lots of funny things happen in that wilderness. It took real courage to be a good Samaritan then, as it does today. A victim at the side of the road could be a trap for more robbers to set upon anyone who stopped to offer help. So we ask, where are the good Samaritans today? Perhaps, more to the point, are we ready to meet the challenge of being good Samaritans under present circumstances? Are we willing to be good Samaritans today under the circumstances of 2025, like it was 2,000 years ago? There are many, many opportunities for us Christians to say yes. Call on me, I'll be a good Samaritan. Now, Jesus had no problems with forgetfulness. He wasn't like that funny couple that we know that didn't know where they went for dinner. He knew exactly who he was, where he came from, where he was going and where he was going to be and where he would end up. He knew his true followers as very well as also. He knew the people that would follow him. He knew them by name. For 3 years, Jesus walked the Holy Land, healing the sick, teaching, preaching, and living the gospel, the good news, for all and for all who would listen, especially his 12 disciples. His message of being a good Samaritan then is as relevant today as it was way back then. We, you and me, we are Jesus' good Samaritans, all of us. We are the ones called to follow his example and seek to aid all those who are sick, all those who are distressed, all those who are marginalized or attacked by the powerful, the rich, the cruel criminals in our contemporary world. Maybe we know people who are victims of assault. Maybe we know some people who are gays, LGBT people, who are not getting a fair break. People who are down and out, street people, we see them all the time. The homeless, we don't know why they're homeless, but they're on the street. They're in our towns, in our cities, and around and about, we see them. Or maybe they're refugees in our midst, or they're victims far off in war zones, in desperate need of food, of water, and shelter, and protection. We can all find ways to offer our services of Christian aid and love every day, everywhere, all the time. We are called to be good Samaritans. Jesus calls us, "Follow me." God's Holy Spirit whispers back, "Christ in us, our hope of glory." Christ in us, our hope of glory. Amen.
We would now like to welcome a special guest who is going to sing for us. Natalie Tate is going to sing the song Cycles by Jonathan McReynolds.
Good morning, everyone. I just want to start off by saying that being here today is an act of obedience. I've been in a cycle of disobedience to God because of fear, not wanting to feel uncomfortable, feeling that I lack the skills to do what God has called me to do, and just not wanting to make mistakes or look foolish. So I've ignored God because it felt too hard. But God has shown up for me over and over again. So today I stand before you in an act of obedience to break this cycle. In Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them." So I stand in his grace and power this morning, and I sing for you, God, to praise you and to thank you. And also wanted to say, this is my first time singing in a public space like this, so please be gentle with me.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I feel that it's come back up again. Must be something I ate. Some song, some show, some hate. The devil wants to extend the game. Free throws. When it ends, he wants to make the sequel. Cause if he has another chance, he feels like he can take my joy, my peace, my faith. See, the devil, he learns from your mistakes, even if you don't. That's how he keeps you in cycles, 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 cycles. But I'm not going in cycles, cycles, yeah. This will end like I wanted to. I win, the enemy will have to lose again. Say, so I'm a different fighter now, and I have God to thank, cause his joy is my strength. See, the devil will learn it's a mistake. Going in cycles, I'm not going in. I'm gonna break these chains. I'm not going in. I'm gonna break these cycles. I'm not going in. Oh, cycles. I'm not going in. Oh, so Lord.
Painful. Cycles.
Thank you. Wow. There is a power in the name of Jesus. Amen to that. Amen to that. There is a power in the name of Jesus. Thank you for reminding us of that. And I want to thank you for sharing your voice with us. Beautiful voice. And thank you, Ron, for sharing the word of God with us. Not reminding only us that we are to be good Samaritans, but also we are called to be good Samaritans for the glory of God. Because that's how the image of God is present in this world, which needs it most. That's how we make God's face clear, God's presence real, across boundaries, across color borders. So thank you for this reminder, for your meditation for us today. Amen. And glory be to God. Let us remind ourselves of our faith in the words of the new creed, the affirmation of faith of the United Church of Canada. Please stand if you're able and affirm your faith with me using the words printed in the bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. Friends, God has given us every breath, every drop of water, every hope. God created a world of beauty and order for us to enjoy and to take care of. We are entrusted in this world. And this earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it. And now it is our chance to return to God the gifts of the earth and the offering of our lives. The offering will now be received. loving and generous God. This offering we bring is but a small and humble gift of the many blessings you have given us. Help us to use it for what makes a better world for all of us, all the people, all your children, and for acts of kindness for the poor, for the needy, for building peace and a world of justice for our neighbors. All for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. Amen.
What a beautiful service we are sharing this morning. So I'm going to begin with a quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson, then get to the prayer. It is one of the first of the most beautiful compensations in life, writes Ralph Waldo Emerson, that no one can sincerely help another without helping oneself. No one. And I think we're learning that. Dear fellow worshipers, called to be Good Samaritans, as we begin to praise God and seek God's mercy and to humble ourselves, I invite you to open your hands and look to the cross behind me. Jesus died on that cross for us, for each of you, for me. It was an act of pure love. In prayer, we'll think on the cross and on what we take from our scripture for today and on Ron's reflection on that Bible passage, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And now we bow our heads, maybe fold our hands, and we thank you, God, that you have over and over declared your love for us, even those who often do not love themselves. Does this passage mean we are to know ourselves as lovable, even when we do not feel lovable or deem ourselves unlovable? I think it must mean that. Love our neighbor and love ourselves. Loving ourselves must mean taking care of ourselves, body, mind, and spirit. But dear God, you know, and we know, that there are among us people, some who do not feel lovable, neither of oneself or of others, people who are sad, who hide themselves or a part of themselves. With heads bowed, we prayed that you will plant seeds that flourish in us, plant words in our mouths, call us to action, that we may actively love others, including those who may not be able to love or honor themselves as children of God. Those who have never known love or have not recognized us, teach us, God, how to love and to be loved and to feel loved and how to share your message with others. Call on us to respond those who are suffering, who may need a word of reassurance or a hand to hold, be they members of our congregation or not. Call on us to respond with a word or deed. Don't let us walk on by. We pray that you will help us, prompt us, nudge us, provoke us, God, to have eyes to see and hearts and hands to help. Help us to recognize as neighbors those who live in our neighborhood as well as neighbors who don't live in our neighborhood. Here, from this corner, there are some who we know well and some not at all. God bless them. Guide our Property Development Working Group and the congregation as a whole in building the church, the beacon needed at this corner at this time by the people of this neighborhood. We do know Marcel at the corner on the other side of Gladstone, where he has lived for over 50 years. For Marcel, Parkdale is steadfast, strong, and protective. In the 50 years, he has been in our church only twice, but is brought to tears speaking about what Parkdale means to him. One of the children in our preschool walking by with his family pointed to Sir Parkdale and said, "That's my church." Dear God, Marcel and the children in our preschool and their families, we believe that these are also your children lovable to you. We pray also for our ministers who are on our front line in worship and in providing solace, love, and prayer for those in need, be they members of our church or not. Our staff members are carrying a heavy burden during this period of our church life. As God, you do know. We pray too for all the caregivers in our congregation, many of whom are not known to us in their caregiving role. You, God, know the burden that some of us carry with love, providing care for family, friends, or neighbors, or self-care. The Samaritan for Jesus was a wounded man needing care, loved. Let the scripture remind us again and again, and one more time, that the Good Samaritan exemplifies a love which extends even to those we might prefer to pass by on the other side. The poor, the vulnerable, the marginalized, those who are odd. That love extends even to the most unlovable among us, perhaps especially those who are unlovable in their own eyes. Teach us to recognize and acknowledge your love for all, and to love the way you do, at least to try. Open our eyes, open our hearts, open our ears. We are called. You are calling us to consider the Good Samaritan and to go and do likewise. And with that message in our hearts and in our hands, we close and turn our eyes back to the cross. Amen. So be it.
You will need your Voices United hymnal for this hymn. And it is printed in the bulletin, the number, if I can find my papers here. 567, thank you. 567.
Will you come and follow? Will you let the air?
Friends, go now in peace to love and serve the Lord. And as you go, may God open your eyes to see yourself and your neighbor the way God sees us. And may you go and do likewise. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you today and evermore.